Good afternoon, Cell Group. Welcome back to our consideration of last Sunday's Gospel, which is from Luke chapter 9, verses 51 to 62. Now, first of all, some broad points about the context of this. Luke's Gospel focuses very much on Jerusalem as the place where salvation happens, and it can be divided into two bits, really, from chapter 5 to chapter 9, 50, and from chapter 9, verse 51 to chapter 24, verse 53. So we're at the dividing point here where a time comes when Jesus starts his journey to Jerusalem. The word resolutely indicates a kind of a mindset, a new strong determination on the part of Jesus to face what has to be done, namely bringing about salvation in Jerusalem. So part of this text, he sends messengers ahead of him, a bit like John the Baptist. These are people who tell others that Jesus is on the way, and these set out and they went into a Samaritan village, and you're very familiar with the Samaritans, and Luke treats the Samaritans very sympathetically, but nevertheless they are people who are very jaggy in their attitude to the Jews. This is because of history. They were people who were rejected by the Jews. They had a separate way of being Jews, which they thought was authentic. So it's a very kind of a sectarian geographical thing. It occupied the territory of Samaria. But it was the shortcut between Galilee and Jerusalem. So the journey was taken through this town. So the people would not receive them because he was making for Jerusalem. So the disciples, James and John, who have the lovely nickname elsewhere we see of sons of thunder. You know, if you're called the sons of thunder, a pair of mouths, you know, we would say a right pair of right mouths. So James and John, always they were zealots too, that they wanted a very violent expulsion of the Romans, and they would have had to come to terms with Jesus being a new kind of prophet. Indeed, what they were recommending was something that the prophet Elijah had himself called down fire on people who would arrest him. So they thought they were doing a good thing, but Jesus had to say, no, I'm not that kind of prophet. I'm a different kind of prophet. He turned and rebuked them, and they went off to another village. So there's a theme here of following Christ and recognizing Christ as authentically the prophet and the saviour who's confronting our values, who's confronting our way of thinking, who's not afraid to rebuke if things aren't right. And they travelled along, they met a man on the road who said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. And in this wee section, there's a wee borrowing from Matthew. A scribe then approached and said, Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus said to him, Foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. So that's all in Matthew chapter 8, verses 19 to 22. But most of the section that we had, that we're considering, is pure Luke. So there's people drawn to the Christian proclamation on various levels of preparedness. There's no example in the Synoptic Gospels of someone coming on his own initiative and successfully becoming a disciple. So there's always a call and a reason for not answering the call, or in some cases, just answering the call. The problematic one for me is that one, leave the dead to bury their dead. And being a priest, it always comes to my mind, standing beside graves, you know, who would bury the dead if it's not done? And what was Jesus really referring to? So it's worth teasing out. And the notes I was reading said that it's not dead as a physical reality, but it's dead spiritually, which doesn't make any sense to me, really. So, but really the condition of discipleship is disengagement from future responsibilities. It's almost even burying the dead isn't your responsibility. It's one of those extreme statements that Christ makes, but nevertheless it can remain a problem, difficulty in understanding. I will follow you, this is the last one, I will follow you, sir, but first let me go and say goodbye to my people at home. And Jesus said, once the hand is laid in the plough, no one who looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Looking back has a whole lot of implications. First of all, if you're ploughing, it means that you're liable to come upon a rock that you haven't noticed because you were looking back, and the rock is going to break your wooden plough. Another thing is, if you're looking back, you're not going to be ploughing straight furrows. You're not going to be an effective ploughman or plough person, as we say these days. And then, of course, there's the looking back of Lot's wife. She was turned into a pillar of salt for doing so. So just be resolute, follow, trust, go ahead. Don't be looking back, don't be looking around you, as your mother used to say. Again, a condition of discipleship is disengagement from past relationships. So there's a lot in that wee second section there about the kinds of disciples that Jesus wants. And there's something in the first paragraph about Jesus' own sense of discipleship, doing what his father wanted, going resolutely for Jerusalem. So resolution, determination, clarity, faithfulness, all these qualities are the qualities that Jesus is looking for from us as we try to be disciples. So, some questions then. Let me see. In the opening verse, Jesus is portrayed as having a new sense of clarity about his life that enables him to set out on the road resolutely. Perhaps there have been such moments in your life, moments of insight and clarity about the road ahead. Could you recall moments like that and share what they were like for you? The response of Jesus to prospective followers seems harsh. He lets the first man know that discipleship is not a path to a comfortable nest. It is a way in which we never know what's going to be asked of us next. The disciple must be ready to move on. Where have you found good news in being open to change, confident in the presence of Jesus with you? So we'll finish with a prayer. Sovereign God, ruler of our hearts, you call us to obedience and you sustain us in freedom. Keep us true to the way of your Son, that we may leave behind all that hinders us, and with eyes fixed on him, walk surely in the path of the kingdom. Grant this through Christ, our deliverance and hope, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God Almighty, forever and ever. Amen. So God bless the work.